Welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. We have heard the bell rung for general elections, and this is an important part of any society. All citizens of adult age have the right to vote for a democratic party to govern the country. And it's no different in Barbados. So today, I will take a look at how citizens with disabilities exercise their right to vote. And I have in the studio with me Roger Vaughan from the National United Society of the Blind to help me discuss this matter. Welcome to the program, Roger.
Thank you very much.
So, Roger, as a citizen, how do you, as a young man who is blind, exercise your right as a citizen? Generally, not just about politics or the right to vote, but let's talk about how do you feel as a citizen within Barbados?
As a citizen, I feel that it is my right to exercise that franchise. There's one thing that the disabled have not been left out, is that you are eligible to vote. The person saw the importance of numbers, whether you have a disability or not, although persons with disability were not included in many things. That is one thing that we are included. So I feel very good to have that right to vote because somebody must govern.
That's quite true. Okay, so let's zero in then on how easy or challenging is it for the blind and visually impaired to exercise this right?
First of all, it is easy to get there once you have the transportation. And it's easy to get into the building for the blind or visually impaired person. For the person with a physical disability, it depends on where they have to vote. It may not be the most accessible. But in terms of going to vote, because we have a system of secret paper ballots, that provides issue for blind or visually impaired persons. So I, after my sight had deteriorated to the point where I could not do it on my own, the regulations allowed me to have someone accompany me if I choose to. And once that person is with me, that person goes to the booth with me and follow my instructions of how to carry out my vote. And that is how I've been voting for the past few elections since my sight has deteriorated, that I cannot do it on my own.
I know that some blind and visually impaired persons would have said that there isn't a consistent approach by the polling officers when they visit the various polling stations. So the polling officer for you may easily facilitate your companion assisting you, while at another polling station, that blind or visually impaired person, or even a person who has a print impairment, may experience some challenge. Walk us through what should really happen when a person who is blind, visually impaired, or has a print impairment, or has a companion with them. What should really happen?
What should happen? Once that person accompanying the voter is 18 years and over, and that is a regulation. I don't have the exact act in terms of election rules, but it is there, and I've heard it broadcast on the radio, that that person can mark that X for you in your presence, mm-hmm. on your behalf. But what happens, as you said, there seem to be either a misunderstanding or persons seem not to always remember all the regulations. So some visually impaired persons have no problem, and some persons are told, well, they can't do it, but the officer on location would have to do it. And you will find that when we consult with each other, I would have a good experience and not having that problem. You may have that problem. So the regulation is there to support us, that we can bring someone. If a person comes on their own, it's only obvious that they would have to receive assistance there. but that is a judgment call for them as a person with a vision impairment. And most visually impaired or blind persons will hardly turn out there on their own.
Yes. And the same regulation speaks to the companion being able to vote or cast the ballot for two persons. So they can vote on behalf of two individuals who are blind, visually impaired, or print impaired. And I want to emphasize the point that persons who have a print impairment, these are individuals who are unable to read for another reason beside blindness or low vision. And I think sometimes we forget these individuals who are unable to read the regular print. And they too need assistance and should be afforded the same right to have a companion to cast that ballot for them, right? So as we are saying, Roger, when you visit the polling station on election day, January the 19th, the companion will go in with you and they are required to complete a form. You, the blind or visually impaired or print impaired person, has given permission to this individual to cast the ballot on your behalf, right? So that is pretty, pretty important.
Yes, and it is important as we speak for persons to know their rights indeed, because I may have voted many times as a blind person. You may have voted many times as a blind person, but there are some persons who have recently become blind and they don't know the rules. And that is why it's important to get that information across, because with a lot of rules, somebody young in the system may not know or remember all the regulations, and they may run into that green officer who may not know all the rules or remember all, because, you know, at every polling station, they may not see a blind person. Like, for instance, in my constituency that I reside, I know a number of blind and visually impaired persons, but I don't know that any of them vote at the same polling station that I do. But the ones I know vote at about two different polling stations just because of where they live, but they're in the same constituency. So, you know, having to have regular flows to reinforce the knowledge that you have been trained, because officers have been trained, you know, some of these persons can forget. So you have to know your rights.
Yes, I quite agree. And I think one of the other points, as you speak about going to the polling stations and not being aware of how many blind or visually impaired persons may be in your constituency, I think this is a good point to remind listeners that they can go on the Electoral and Boundaries Commission website, electoral.barbados.gov.bb, and look for the chat box where they can enter their ID number. You know, the prompts will allow you to do that, and you will see your name, your address, your polling station, and so on, that pertinent information. And I want to ask persons with disabilities, whatever type of disability you have, please use this area of the website to identify your polling station. And for those who have physical disabilities, check to see whether that polling station is accessible to you as a wheelchair user or a person with a mobility challenge. Check and just let us know if the polling stations are accessible. And for the blind and visually impaired, whether the website is accessible to you, if you are able to manipulate the chat box easily, or if you're having challenges with it. Because giving this feedback to the disability organizations and to the Electoral and Boundaries Commission will help both of us to improve the services that are available to this particular population. So yes, it's really important.
That is true. The important thing is we learn as we go, and we need to improve as we go.
Right, because if we want to speak about exercising our rights, we also need to know what is available and what rights it provides to us. Therefore, we are able then to say this works or this does not work. So we all have a role to play in making sure that we are able to exercise our rights as citizens in a very comfortable and useful manner to benefit all of us. Now, Roger, in terms of the actual polling, going into the polling booth, what was your experience like in terms of whether you felt you had privacy to cast that ballot? Was the booth too close to the officers? You know, what was that for you?
From what I can remember, that was 3.5 years ago, I had enough space. I felt private enough. We entered the room and the booth was right where you block off. I would have been facing them in terms of, you know, there's a kind of a boxing around where you mark the X, where you.
Yeah.
So I was still blocked. And the person that was accompanying me, they were able to exercise that in the privacy because they have to come with me and they have to follow the instructions that I give them.
Well, I know in one or two instances where the individual who would cast the ballot was backing the officers. And to me, I think that did not lend for privacy.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, the space was too close. And the fact that there was no curtain or any barrier to prevent the officers from overlooking, you know, just looking over the shoulder of the individuals, I think was not a very healthy atmosphere.
Yeah, so, it's good that you would have noted that, especially as a blind person, because people sometimes think you don't pick up on certain things. And you have to make people feel comfortable because in Barbados, people always question if the ballot is secret or not. So we need, you know, to have those things, you know, discuss and make sure that they don't happen again.
Right. I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Visions with me, Yudely Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Roger Vaughan from the National United Society of the Blind. So as we continue to look at voting rights for persons with disabilities, we've touched on the accessibility for the blind and visually impaired, being able to cast their ballot, understanding that they have the right to take a companion to cast the ballot on their behalf. And I also want us to look, Roger, at what are some possible solutions to make voting more accessible to the blind. We know that for the persons with physical challenges, that it's more about making the actual polling station very accessible so that they can wheel in freely, independently, and go to the booth again as independently as possible and use the booth independently without having to use an alternative space to vote simply because the booth may not be as low as it ought to be for a wheelchair user. So these details need to be addressed as we look to make voting for persons with disabilities more accessible. And we would have heard quite a lot over the last few years about making voting more accessible. We've heard about the touch screen where you're able to touch and cast your ballot. We've heard about mail-in votes. We've heard about using Braille. So what are your thoughts about all of this, Roger?
I've always been thinking that maybe persons who have physical disabilities, whereas if a polling station in every constituency, not every polling district, every constituency, at least one in every constituency, could be made accessible. And of course, the person with a disability would have to identify beforehand so that they would know, because they may not be from that polling district. and also early voting and using the technology also. But there's also one that has been implemented in Trinidad, I think, recently in England, at least two or so elections back, the template voting for the blind, in where a template to the size of the ballot is placed over the paper ballot with squares mostly on the right, in line with the candidates and where the box. So it will be a match. And you will know if there are three candidates, two candidates, they're lined up alphabetically, and you'll be able to mark your X without any assistance. All the assistance you will need is that the ballot be lined up properly. Then you have your priority, the ballot and the template. And that is a proposal that the National United Society of the Blind has submitted many years ago to the Electoral Department, and they do acknowledge receiving it. They met with us. They even attended an AGM when we were showcasing it and even conducted our elections. And from my knowledge, they said it was submitted to cabinet, but it was put on hold at the time. And that was way back after the 2008 elections and till the digital ID will be introduced then to come back to us. But we would need to go back at it because it's been way too long. And this form of voting is done in some Commonwealth societies. So there's nothing that can't be done here. So we can look at the, as you said, what is available, the technology, the early voting, and accessible locations.
I think these are pretty good solutions that are, you know, put forward. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of commitment.
Commitment
to ensuring that a very feasible solution or solutions are found to accommodate voters with disabilities. And all the research that I have read recently is suggesting that the population of persons with disabilities will grow larger, not only by aging, but as we are seeing through violence, through accidents. So therefore, we need to make sure that this population is accommodated in all sectors, particularly the ability to vote independently.
Oh, yes. And that is all important because some persons will think that all blind persons can read Braille. So that is annoying. And then everybody is not into the technology and may not be comfortable voting using the electronic means. So you may still need to have that physical access to persons where they will feel more comfortable. So you may need to have a combination of both so persons can make their choices and exercise their right.
Well, Roger, I mean, let us explore a little more what accessible voting can look like for the blind, particularly and persons with print impairment. So we can use the option of Braille. But again, this would be a very limited number of individuals who can read and write Braille. We can use the companion, which currently exists, where you can take along someone to vote on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And we can also look at using the technology. So we can have the touch screen where you touch the candidate you want to vote for. Or you can have the template, as you're saying, where you can, again, mark your X. And I think these are all great solutions that can be employed in future elections, whether it is a by-election or the general elections, you know?
Or even a referendum.
correct. What do you see as challenges in terms of having one accessible location in the constituency? What would you see as some of the challenges that could, you know, cut out that possible solution?
The challenges mainly is the will, I would even say the will to get it done, and also looking at accessible locations, encouraging the same persons with disabilities to come out and vote, because if we don't come out, people will never think that we are wrong. So it is important to show our face, because if we are pushing for persons to come out and vote and pushing for accessible formats, they must be used even if it is only 5% of the population, it must be used. Otherwise, persons that make decisions and make the policy decisions would not get them done. But also the cost, and the cost, I don't think is prohibitive. Is, as you said, and as I stated, the one within every constituency, to me, that is achievable. But that would just mean 30 locations instead of so many more.
Yeah. Well, these are solutions and recommendations proposed. They're on the table. Let us, as a nation, because our call for greater accessibility to vote is a call that will benefit the entire society, because we have an aging population that will benefit from many of the solutions that are being proposed. And it also lends to the integration, the further integration of citizens with disabilities. And no citizen wants to feel as though they're not a part of the society, that they are disenfranchised. So these solutions, I believe, can benefit the entire country of Barbados, and also can provide other Caribbean countries with possible solutions for their community of persons with disabilities as well.
Oh, yes. We must note that in Trinidad, I think they have the template voting. I think that was done about a few elections back. So I think they're the only one within the Eastern Caribbean that have that type of voting. For sure, Trinidad. And I think in the Commonwealth, it might be in Australia. I know England, yes, introduced it, even says Trinidad. So there are examples. Once we can get it done, we will encourage others to do likewise.
Australia is extremely progressive when it comes to facilitating their citizens with disabilities, not just with the ability to vote independently, because they have used several approaches, including calling in, like having a specific call center where the voters with disabilities could actually call in their votes. I don't know the finer details of how that is operated, but that was one of the approaches they used. They used all of what we would have mentioned before. And I think their citizens with disabilities feel a bit more satisfied that a great effort has been made to include the persons with disabilities to have and exercise their right to vote. So we need to continue our campaign to ensure that voters with disabilities can truly exercise this right as independently as possible.
I do agree. When we look at examples of countries in Australia, we will have to look at it and compare it to our culture and our size of country, because with Australia having a lot more, persons may not feel as insecure in some. Whereas in Barbados, people may say, if I do so-and-so, this body would know. So we have to also get past that too. But we have to look at what is best for us. But yes, improve the way we vote.
How do you think we can remove some of the insecurities that voters have? Do we ask our political scientists, our sociologists, our social research scientists to speak more to disability?
Yes, you may need them, but we also need to change the culture and the mindset of persons to think that persons are checking behind to know how you vote. It is something that some people believe. You know, you come along for years hearing different things, even outside of voting. You hear all that people go and dig back up graves, you know, to take back up caskets, whether it was true or not. And people believe these things, you know, very much. So it is a change of culture. It's thinking. Persons have to feel more comfortable, because really and truly, after maybe 7,000 votes are put into different ballots and secure, I don't know how many more politicians go to dig into the box to see who you voted for. But people believe some of these things. And every election you hear, there's a mark on the back of the thing and this thing and that thing. So we have to change that mindset.
So how can we change that then?
I don't know.
How do we make it more transparent?
I think it's just trying to educate the public of what is done and why it is done that way. And as people are exposed to more knowledge and education, they hope that that will change them, but it wouldn't happen overnight.
Roger, as we get ready to wrap up the program, speak a little about those individuals who are unable to read. How do you think disability organizations can add a voice or support their separation from society? Because it is a challenge when they're unable to complete basic forms or even spell their names or their addresses. How do you think disability organizations can support and assist them?
We can give them a voice by speaking about it and encouraging some of the agencies to have some reading programs or finding out where their shortcomings are. But persons also have to accept that they have that shortcoming so that they can correct it. If it can be corrected or where it can't be corrected, that they have to acknowledge that they need the assistance and that the organizations will help guide them on how they can receive that assistance, even when it comes to voting and other things, so that they will not be, as you say, taken advantage of. So it will be for us to help speak on their behalf, but it's for them to accept and to listen.
Well, Roger, it really has been very informative chatting with you, and I hope that our listeners will not just hear this program, but take some of the suggestions, some of the concerns raised, and the offer of solutions that they too can add their voices to ours as people with disabilities to call for more accessible voting, more accessible society that all of us can live very comfortably and harmoniously within. So thank you again, Roger, for coming and speaking to this topic.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Roger Vaughan from the National United Society of the Blind. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 or by email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can listen to this and past episodes of the podcast on the VOB929.com website. So until next week, take excellent care of yourself, love yourself, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao!